Welcome to the 2012 Federal Executive Forum Series on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Data center consolidation progress and best practices. Here's your host, Jim Fleisig.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Jim Fleisig. During today's show, we will discuss best practices with data center consolidation strategies in the federal government. With me today on the show are Robin East, the CIO of the Department of Treasury, Jim Stephen, the Deputy Associate CIO for Data Centers at USDA, Anil Carmel, MNO Chief Technology Officer, National Nuclear Security Administration, Pervin Vakhawala, the Senior Business Development Manager, Data Center Cloud and Virtualization at Juniper Networks, Jay Owen, Vice President Government Sales, Schneider Electric IT Business, and Bill Bocci, the HP Chief Technologist for Software Federal. Let's get into the show and talk to our panelists. Let's start with Robin East over at Treasury. Robin, tell us a little bit about your role with data center consolidation, some of the key benefits that you think your agency will see coming out of your efforts.
Thank you, Jim. Data center consolidation is really a foundational piece of our IT strategy at Treasury. We are using data center consolidation to achieve efficiencies to accomplish a number of things. The first being, of course, tighter budgets in difficult budget times. But what that also allows us to do is bring things together in a way that will allow us to establish an enterprise infrastructure that will lead to other initiatives like more enterprise shared services. Rebuilding our infrastructure so that we prepare ourselves for more mobility as we look to mobile apps and the digital government initiatives that we are addressing now.
Yeah, terrific. I think that foundation piece is there. You know, once we get to that end state, I think it'll open up all kinds of opportunities. Jim Stephen over at USDA, what's about your role with data center consolidation, some of the benefits you see for USDA coming out of your efforts?
Okay, well, I have a kind of a two-hat role. I'm the department's data center consolidation program manager, but also my day job is I'm in the management team at our enterprise data centers.
Okay.
So some of the benefits we're seeing already, and we expect more as we move forward, is obvious savings, you know, elimination of duplicative data centers, duplicative hardware stacks. It's really starting to pay benefits back to us, and in declining budget years that we're all aware of, I think that we're going to be well served by this initiative. Obvious thing is, you know, we're shrinking our perimeter, so we're improving security of the business apps that serve the farmers and the public.
Right.
And we're, you know, greening the USDA's consumption of energy across the board, you know, with data centers spread across 50 states. It just makes sense to move, close down these inefficient data centers, move to the more efficient enterprise-class data centers.
Sure. It's an interesting, as you watch the evolution of computing, you know, it was like mainframe, centered, push everything out, pull everything in, push everything out, pull everything in. We've actually cycled through that same kind of evolution over time. But I think this time, you know, the benefits are so overwhelming to move in this direction that it's meant to stay. Pervin over at Juniper Networks, tell us how Juniper positions to support government in moving forward, and tell us some of the things you're doing to help the government be successful in their efforts.
Definitely. So, you know, the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative, we're supporting that, where we're actually helping optimize and, you know, consolidate a lot of these data centers, but also having a more flatter tier where it helps, you know, from agility and growth perspective. Mm-hmm. So when they are consolidating these data centers, they're not giving up more. They're actually gaining efficiency and agility.
Yeah, clearly that's what we want. You know, we don't want to move old equipment into new data centers and say, well, we're in data centers. We want to be able to try to be smart along the way and improve processes and get more modern technology, more energy efficient, as Jim said, in place and so forth. Anil Kamal Elver at NNSA, how about your role with data center consolidation, some of the benefits that you're trying to achieve over there?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Jim. So from our perspective within the National Nuclear Security Administration, obviously security is paramount to our particular mission. We're entrusted with the safety, security, and reliability of the U.S. nuclear weapons stockpile. With that, we're a semi-autonomous agency within the Department of Energy. So energy consumption and savings is something that's very important to us. So our model truly does center around, interestingly enough, cloud computing. But cloud computing in where it makes sense for us, in the sense that we're leveraging innovation within our national labs and taking technology that was invented at our national labs, secure cloud service broker that was invented at Los Alamos National Laboratory, that allows us to broker our on-premise capabilities and commercial cloud service providers, providing a cloud marketplace to our consumers within the Department of Energy, facilitating data center consolidation.
Yeah, terrific, terrific. We're going to revisit cloud and managed services and, you know, and so forth, because the issues get overlapped and intermingled in private clouds and public clouds and hybrid clouds, and I mean, it's all kinds of... Jay Owen over at Schneider Electric, tell us your role in some of the areas that you're addressing to help government move forward in achieving their objectives.
So consolidation is really the biggest driver of our data center business, whether it's commercial or federal. In the federal space, it really breaks down into three areas. The first is services. So we from things like doing an efficiency assessment to determine your current state versus where you can get, to a consolidation assessment to determine from a technical point of view which facility you should be moving into, to building a data center, to then operating and maintaining it. So those are different services we provide. The biggest area, the second one, is really the hardware infrastructure. So when you do something like consolidation, you tend to drive densities way up, and a lot of the existing infrastructure in an existing facility isn't going to function properly. So the majority of what we do with federal agencies is in this, a concept of installing a high-density, high-efficiency pod in an existing facility that allows you to consolidate into without impacting the rest of the facility. So really cost-effective approach.
That's it. You know, in fact, you know, might be, I don't think anyone's talked about this yet, but I actually think there's going to be a second phase. I think phase one data center consolidation is models are being generated, and some are very good, some are okay, some are not working well. I think when you get into a recompete of a cycle, you're going to see, you know, sort of people migrating towards some of the strategies that worked well, and some of the strategies that didn't work so well will likely go away. Because we've been doing these shows for quite some time now, and I've heard great stories, and as I make my way around town, I've heard some bad stories. We don't bring the bad stories to the radio show. But Bill, how about over at HP Software? What are some of the areas that you are positioning to assist with these data center consolidations?
Sure. So I'm the lead resource within HP on what we call the IT transformation. And IT transformation, one of the pieces is talking about data center consolidation. But there's so many more moving parts associated with it. So all of the benefits, they're all great, we just mentioned. But some of the other benefits that we see, and we try to focus on a lot, is as the transformation is happening in the data center consolidation, make use of application portfolio management, right? When you move it, let's treat the applications, because it's all about data, in a lifecycle approach. And why we think this is really important, because as you move the application and as you transform it, you need to understand if this is ever going to be cloud ready. Do we need to take this application and overlap and move it? Because the applications are what we're providing for the data.
Right.
And very key. The second piece that we focus a lot on is continuous monitoring, right? The NIST 800. The whole idea of, as I'm consolidating this data center, I need to tie my security operations into my IT operations.
Right.
Continuous monitoring, online, discovering networks, doing license management, components management, and really tying it together. And then third is the security piece, right? As I move my applications to the data center, let's scan them. Let's ensure that these applications are now secure, because I am boxing things in. I'm moving it down. I'm shrinking the footprint. So therefore, if I do it right, I'm going to be more secure, but I also need to worry about the applications on top of it.
I actually think I like that continuous monitoring too. I think there's, we may actually do a show on that at some point, because there's so many issues around that right now. I mean, you have the monitoring of the data coming in and out. You have the monitoring of data at rest. And you also have monitoring of the configurations of the devices in the, some people miss that one, and that can dramatically reduce downtime.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. Totally agree, because I think a lot of the focus is taken by the security teams, right? Which is really key, because it really is to secure your environment much better. but it's the merging of the security and the operations.
Right.
Because the operations world has most of this data.
Exactly.
Security has the other piece. Let's bring it together and provide it.
And I think there's tool sets in the open architecture world now that can work across devices and reduce the need for all these proprietary products that we see in place.
Absolutely. And HP works, you know, has their own tools or works with other tools.
We'll look at revisiting that in detail sometime. Let's shift over, talk a little bit about, we are in tough budget times. Do you think, and it does take money up front, investment money up front to get to the consolidated state. Do you think let's start with you, Jim, over at USDA. Is the budget of a concern in terms of, your rate of being able to get done what you're trying to get done?
Budgets are always a concern. However, I think because of the budget constraints we're under, it's imperative that we keep the momentum going on data center.
Because
this is going to be one
state is the savings. If you can get the investment to get to the end state.
Correct. This is going to be one of the bigger savings that we can realize in the short term.
Sure. Robin, feel the same way about that?
Absolutely. As we laid out the strategy for consolidation over the next several years, one of the things that we've already been able to demonstrate is with the consolidation activities in the next fiscal year, we can demonstrate savings in 2014.
So you've got the business cases laid out, so we just need to convince the lawmakers that we need to keep the budget intact because we can really realize these savings.
In these budget times, I don't know how else we will continue to make progress.
Right.
We look across the organization for efficiencies where we can take the savings from those, because you're right. It does take investment up front, and we have to find a way to do that from within existing budgets, right? Because there's no other resource available to us. And so it's very important, I think, to constantly be looking across the organization for different kinds of efficiencies, whether it's how you refresh your skill sets, whether it's the order that you take your services, your applications, into a consolidated environment. All of those things play a role.
Sure. Anil, how about you in terms of the budget pressures? Are you able to, are you confident you're going to be able to get to the end state you're shooting at here during these tough budget times?
So you're absolutely right, and I agree with my panelists here in the sense that in a constrained fiscal environment, we have to be wise stewards of the resources that we're entrusted with. We don't have a pot of money into which we can pull into to go find dollars to go invest and make to make data consolidation happen in our own environments. So we have to look at efficiencies within our environments, take those dollars and use them wisely. So in our particular circumstance, what we're doing is laying that foundation in regards to cloud computing, in the sense that we're using this cloud service broker to broker existing environments within our facilities so that we can enable portability for those workloads to move from our on-premise capabilities, our on-premise facilities to commercial cloud service providers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's all being done within existing year budgets.
Yeah.
So laying that foundation for us is key so that we can get to that true end state.
Yeah. Well said. Bill, how about at HP? The budget constraints, I know any companies I work with, first thing I tell them is you don't want to go into a government agency and talk about any new idea unless your new idea is going to reduce costs by more than the cost of the new idea, because nobody's going to come up with new money.
Exactly.
So how are you guys, in terms of trying to, are you looking at creative ways to help government reduce costs as they go through this?
Sure, certainly. So when we look at the cost of running IT, right, in the data center, and the bulk of the cost is 51% of it is associated with indirect cost tied back to the data center. So as we go through the data center transformation or consolidation, overall it's about 7% cost for data center and power, whereas the big cost associated with it is the system administrators, the people who support all the applications and data, and being able to provide tools and components that help automate what the folks do in a lifecycle management of applications is really where the big savings could come going forward once the platform is built. And when I talk about the platform, a real secure, robust data center, now you consolidate it down and you automate on common platforms, common operating systems, common databases, so you need less administrators, less people running the database. you become less, you know, risky as an environment, because no matter what, people want to improve services. They want to be able to, time to market has to be reduced, right? All of these components that add up in a more secure environment, the real way to do it is to consolidate, but then make use of that platform to build upon and standardize on technologies and ways to automate the way you do business.
Yeah, I know I've held the opinion that going to data centers and cloud and everything else, it's an opportunity. I mean, it's an opportunity to sort of like throw away a lot of Band-Aid approaches we've had in the past and get to, you know, optimal solutions that are much more cost effective. Pervin, what about you? How do you view now in this tough budget time? Are you looking for ways, and is the goal here to find ways for the government to reduce their overall cost as they move to data center consolidation?
Definitely. In fact, what Juniper does is we actually help the government reduce costs as well as lay out new platforms, which overall cost less money. Mm-hmm. So we're supporting with, you know, initiatives where we're able to consolidate and do more with less. I mean, we're being asked to do more with less, and that's where our agencies are coming to us. So we're helping find ways as well as developing products and tools that allows them to do that.
Right.
The other thing is with the whole consolidation effort, you know, I was part of a committee and supporting NSTAC, where it talks, where we discuss cloud computing.
Right.
And how are we going to help the government, you know, migrate into the cloud? Because there's also concerns surrounding not just budget, but the cost of overall TCO.
Right.
So it's not just a one-time
fix. Right. And I know the mantra now is do more with less, but I predict in the years to come it's going to be do less with less. I think there's going to be pressure on government to find ways to do, you know, to things maybe we're doing now that maybe we don't have to do in the future. Now, that would, you know, won't impact your business, so to speak. You'll still be viewing it, you know, trying to support, but I think there'll be more emphasis on the real mission critical stuff and less emphasis on some of the things that perhaps are no longer necessary. Jay, what do you think over at Schneider Electric? What, how's the budget climate affect the way you work with your customers?
Well, first, we're still seeing projects. There's just extra steps involved with the approvals. So if an agency can show if a project can show that it supports the agency's consolidation goals, we're seeing those projects get approved. But you mentioned something interesting, that there's an upfront cost associated with that, and there certainly is. But I think we're going to see more of the concept of energy savings performance contracts in the data center world.
Yeah.
And which is, for people that aren't familiar with it, a means of financing energy improvement projects and paying for it out of future savings so that there is no upfront cost, or a financing company is the one that sees the upfront cost.
I've been being briefed on that, and I think it's sort of like one of those hidden gems out there, and I'm actually going to start spreading the word around government about that approach, because I think they've been used quite a bit for facilities things.
That's correct.
But they haven't been viewed in the IT world that much.
We're starting to see it, though. We're starting to see it in the data center space.
Good. Good, yeah, because I think clearly creative funding, creative financing are all going to be important. We want to shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about, you know, cloud computing, managed services, data centers, how they all fit into the strategies. But before we do that, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
As you virtualize your data centers to save space, weight, and power, take a look at Juniper Networks for your data center consolidation. Juniper's newly certified EX series switches feature virtual chassis technology, so you can manage multiple switches as a single logical device, increasing network performance and security. And with Juniper's QFabric solution, you can flatten your data center architecture to a single layer, managed as one virtual switch. Choose new. See juniper.net/datacenter.
Struggling to meet your data center consolidation and sustainability goals? Look to Schneider Electric. From assessments, planning, and infrastructure improvements to funding vehicles to overcome capital shortfalls, Schneider Electric offers the industry's leading expertise that you need to create more efficient, available data centers. With their future-minded solutions, you'll realize lower lifecycle costs, enhanced physical security, and a smaller building footprint. That's Schneider-Electric.us.
Federal agencies need to overcome the inflexibility and high costs created by IT sprawl. HP Data Center Transformation Solutions will make your data center more flexible, more efficient, and less expensive to operate. HP Data Center Transformation Solutions help by focusing on five core initiatives: portfolio management, data center consolidation, IT workforce effectiveness, world-class IT, and the enterprise data warehouse. HP Data Center Transformation Solutions, the fastest path to your converged infrastructure, enabling you to accelerate IT and reduce sprawl.
Welcome back to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jim Fleisig here with Robin East from Treasury, Jim Stephen from USDA, and Neil Carmel from NNSA, Pervin Fakawala from Juniper Networks, Jay Owen from Schneider Electric IT Business, and Bill Bocci from HP Software Federal. We're talking data center consolidation, and what I want to do is talk a little bit about cloud, managed service. It seems like we have this craze going on of everything as a service, infrastructure as a service, software as a service, email as a service, on and on and on. And so when we think of data centers, you know, we have, you know, how does cloud and managed service and fit into this strategy? Let's start, Anil, you had brought it up, that it's something that you've factored into your strategy. Can you elaborate on how these concepts sort of work together in your overall data center strategy?
Absolutely. So from our standpoint within the NNSA, cloud is, in fact, the foundation for data center consolidation, and really began around understanding, first off, what virtualization meant to us, where mm-hmm. we took our existing physical workloads and virtualized them onto a virtual platform. Then understanding what cloud was and what cloud meant to us. So it was really a journey. It wasn't a, you know, we're going to jump into this pool. We really took a very iterative approach to how we got there. And and this began at one of our national labs mm-hmm. and is now something that we're leveraging across the complex as an agency-wide right. capability. Right. So from that perspective, this cloud service broker allows us to take those existing investments that we've made within our facilities, put this broker on top of those existing investments so that you're leveraging this investment, and allowing you to broker your on-premise capabilities with commercial cloud service providers, providing mm-hmm. you, if you will, this cloud marketplace. Mm-hmm. Think of it like a travel website. I want to go from point A to point B tomorrow. Two people go. Here's the airlines. Here's the price. Mm-hmm. In this model, I want X servers, this much CPU, this much memory, this much disk. Go. Here are the different cloud service providers, including your own organization, mm-hmm. and here's the price. And you pick the service that makes sense for you.
That's pretty cool. I think, you know, maybe it's a new business model I should have here. You know, we'll have kind of like, you know, the kayak.com of the cloud world, where, you know, where you've got all, here are all the cloud providers, and you put in your information, it finds the best cloud approach for you. That's, I like that. I think you see a whole new industry around that. Jim, Stephen, what do you think in terms of managed service, cloud? Are you guys looking at managed services as part of data center consolidation, or cloud as part of, how are you addressing those?
As part of data center consolidation, our primary focus was cloud offerings. We've established a private cloud within USDA. We've augmented that with various public cloud offerings. For instance, we moved 100% of our email to the cloud.
Yeah, I heard that. You guys were a leader in government in that.
Yeah, it's
that.
Been about 2 years ago now.
Oh, so well we're done.
So that was a big accomplishment. Mm-hmm. We're also, you know, staying out there looking at, as more and more of the commercial cloud providers get their FedRAMP security controls in place, we'll add that to our portfolio of offerings moving forward. Mm-hmm. We're really seeing great success. We're able to move about 85% to 90% of these applications, you know, virtualize them in place, move right. them to the cloud as we start closing down data closets and rooms across sure. the country. So, sure. so you know, we've
things are moving
really embracing it, and it makes sense, right. and we're achieving those savings that everybody tells you you should be.
Cool, Robin, at Treasury, are you seeing are you factoring in managed service, looking at managed services approaches as well as cloud, as well as data center, and so forth? The trend I see, and correct me if I'm wrong, the trend I see is moving some of the more like administrative kinds of things to the more public cloud, if you will, while as mission critical stuff still remains sort of like with private cloud or whatever. Does that sound right?
It does. We are establishing a private cloud as we do some consolidation, but we use a variety of of strategies.
Right. Now, don't you have a couple of bureaus, too, that have success stories in this area where they're working together?
We recently, the Bureau of Public Debt and Financial Management Service combined their IT operations. That was a precursor to the two bureaus actually combining the rest of their operations. So they have become, or will become very shortly, I think in the next week, the Bureau of Fiscal Service.
Wow.
So IT led the way. In that, and it's a very successful consolidation. They also went from five data centers down to two. So that's a real success story, I think,
absolutely.
That started with data center consolidation.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's getting over the culture hurdle and actually getting two bureaus working together and becoming one and so forth, and IT driving it. That's a remarkable success story. How about over in the private sector world in terms of are you guys looking into providing managed services? Pervin and Juniper? Are you looking at managed services kinds of approaches or cloud approaches? Is Juniper going to have a cloud?
Sure. Well, we see cloud as a network platform where we can provide application and services more efficiently. So we're not looking to become the cloud provider, but what we're doing is we're helping enable those managed service providers adapt quickly to the cloud, as well as be able to take on the additional workload as needed to build environments to help support the agility of the cloud.
Right.
So when, you know, postal service around the holidays need more resources, instead of having to go out there and procure equipment and have it sit idle 9-10 months out of the year, they're able to leverage vendors like us and go out there and say, hey, we need more resources and we need it to be more agile and flexible. Can we go ahead and add something just for the time being? So
yeah, very good. Jay, how about over at Schneider Electric? How are you? Are you looking at managed service concepts or from your business model, is that something that you come across on a daily basis, cloud?
It is something we come across. From a services standpoint, we are in the operating and maintenance end of a data center, but as it pertains to cloud, the real thing that changes for us is some of the design criteria is different in a data center that's going to own a cloud environment. And obviously some physical security requirements are a little bit different. And then in the case of a public cloud, it just changes who our customer is.
Right.
That's the main thing.
Bill, how about at HP? You have strategies around cloud managed service, data center consolidations. You have a sort of see how they all come together?
Yes, and to all the questions. So HP, big company, we do have managed services. We'll host, but we also do have cloud services, both for commercial and for FedRAMP customers. So we really do play in that space. And in the space where I play from the data center consolidation, what we do is we help folks. I mean, because getting to a cloud is a journey, like Anil said. I mean, it's you build the data center, you turn up cloud services like infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. But then the big piece and the big transformational piece is when my applications that I have, right, are they cloud ready and how do I enable them to be cloud ready and move those applications now into the cloud if applicable. Some things are ready just to be managed service providers because I need to be able to take advantage of this concept of bursting and running on someone else's network.
Right.
So I need to have my applications enabled to be able to take advantage of that. And HP really plays in all the different arenas. And different groups have different strategies, but ultimately, we're here to help the government in any way that they need.
Right. Yeah, I get sometimes, things that come around and go around. We, start talking about cloud being this new idea and everything else, and I start thinking, remember the days of time sharing in like 1970s where we were going to use someone else's equipment and so forth? And it's sort of like that evolution again, things come and go and come and go. Interesting to watch. Let's shift gears and talk about some other challenges. We already talked about the budget. We know that the budget and funding is always going to be a challenge in the years to come here, especially. But what are some of the other major challenges that you face trying to accomplish what you're trying to do? Let's start with Robin at Treasury. Robin, what are some of the challenges other than the funding that you're running into as you're trying to get your consolidations completed?
I think with a very federated organization like Treasury, with its bureaus, with very specific and differing missions, one of the challenges is finding the right opportunities at the right time to make sure that we fit our data center consolidation efforts into schedules and the carrying out of the missions in a way that we don't negatively impact the business of the Treasury. So that's a challenge. And I think also we're going to talk about security in a little while. Mm-hmm. I think we have security challenges that we have to address, and that's certainly part of our plans going forward, is to achieve some more flexibility there so that we can accommodate differing levels of security needs.
Yeah, well said. Good stuff. I think you have some great points here. I think you might be the second best CIO in the history of the Treasury Department.
Following you, Jim.
Oh, that's a joke, folks. That's a joke. With that, let's go to Anil. How do you see, what are some of the challenges you're facing as you're moving forward and trying to get where you want to be?
Right. So, interestingly enough, and while this may sound interesting in the sense that technology is actually the easy part of the problem, mm-hmm. right? The bigger parts are, as my colleague from Treasury stated, it's the people part, in the sense that we're a large distributed organization, right? And the processes part, in the sense that we have existing business processes. And for us to really enable data center consolidation, we have to change the way we procure our services.
Right.
We have to change the way people think about using these services. So really to do that, you can't do it alone.
Right.
Right. So what we've done is we've established a partnership with the Department of Energy and NSA, mm-hmm. and we are under a program that we call Right Path, which I serve as the chief architect to mm-hmm. design this capability to deliver this in concert with our end users. So we talked about cloud in the sense that cloud is that foundation. So you know, when we talk about cloud, the way that it's being deployed, the name of our cloud is your cloud, right. in the sense that you own these services,
right.
you manage the systems, right? We're not taking that away from you, so that addresses the people part of the equation, right? Yeah. It's your cloud. You
Absolutely.
Own it.
Good point. As a way to try to deal with culture, and now we're 84 for 84 on our radio shows. This is the 84th show we've done. It's the 84th time someone brought up the fact that the technology is not the hardest challenge. It's the people, the processes, the culture, and in data center consolidation, when you're getting folks to work together that maybe are traditionally are used to doing their own thing, it becomes a whole new set of issues that are a lot different than the technology issues. Jim, what do you think in terms of some challenges that you face on a day-to-day basis that...
Well, I will echo what both Robin and Anil did say. You know, one of our big challenges in the program is managing the change process at the people level.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things, this may really relate to funding, but relates back to the previous question, you know, some of the ways we've been able to manage the funding issue is to move our data center contracts, enterprise data center contracts, to more utility-based. So, you know, when our customers come into an enterprise data center and they want to buy one CPU and one gig, well, the data center is only paying the vendor for one CPU and one gig. So it's really helped us manage that money piece a little bit closer.
Right. How about in the private sector? You guys seeing what kind of challenges, for example, I know with, I'm seeing a lot of folks, we want to procure a managed service, but the procurement people in government aren't real familiar, and it's not a little challenge there, and maybe a challenge on your side. And you know, how do you begin moving that direction, because it brings into play all kinds of new service level agreements and things that we haven't dealt with before. What do you think, Bill, or what are you seeing in terms of challenges to moving towards data center and working with your customers?
Well, the first thing is we do a lot of workshops around how to help companies and agencies go to data center transformation. And the number one thing is executive sponsorship, right? Now, a lot of people would say, well, that's pretty obvious. But it wavers because this is, again, it's a journey. It's multiple years. And as executive sponsorship changes over the years, it kind of sometimes things fall through the cracks, right?
Right.
In focusing on governance, right? So I'm building a data center. I have a data center running. Now I really need to make use of and get some of those gains that I promised, right, Congress going forward, is governance in the sense of responsibility, accountability, who's in charge, who gets to make the right decisions at the right time. Because typically what we do is we create an infrastructure where it always goes to the top, right, instead of really delegating to the right level within the organization to make the changes. And then back to portfolio and project management, right? Tying it together is I have a portfolio of applications that I'm going to move. I know their life cycle. I know when they're going away. But now I have projects. And every one of these projects shouldn't be 3 months. What we do at HP is the longest project or component is 9 months because it becomes measurable every year. Do I want to keep the project? And did the people fail? Did the people succeed? Is my team achieving the goals that I go forward? And if you focus on the governance, portfolio management, and what Anil said and other people is focus on process. Right. How do I run my business now that I'm transformed? How do I keep my platforms, my portfolio? How do I make people use the cloud, right, instead of going using virtualization and putting things out in the field?
Right.
Really focused on that piece.
Good point. I think that governance point is so important in executive leadership. Jayon, how about at Schneider Electric? How are some of the challenges? I know you mentioned energy savings performance contracts. One challenge there is getting the awareness out there. And
absolutely.
I think that's actually, I agree with you. There's more. In fact, I'm sorry. I'm becoming a believer myself and trying to get word out. But what other challenges do you have in that space?
Yeah, certainly I think awareness of some of these new options is something that we need to help accelerate. But I think the biggest thing, we're not going to see a bunch of new data centers being built to go consolidate into. There's some few exceptions, but by and large, we're not going to see that. So the biggest limitation that we see on more of the physical infrastructure side is these older data centers or existing data centers that you're consolidating equipment into just can't handle without some changes being done to the infrastructure, they can't handle it. So that's something that we're trying to help overcome. And as you do that, you want to drive up the efficiency of the data center. Right. Another big problem is most of the federal data centers that are out there, they're not metered today. There's no measurement devices in place necessarily to help you even understand what your current efficiency is, much less where you can get to down the road.
Right. Now, isn't there a mandate coming, though? Doesn't OMB have something out about metering by some year out in the future?
There is. Yeah. It's out there. But it doesn't necessarily exist today. So, and we have some estimation tools that can come very close to letting you understand your current data center efficiency just by using some online tools to go and do that.
Yeah. And I bet that would be a very useful exercise. A lot of agencies just understand what your current costs are to be able to measure what energy savings you actually are achieving as you go through consolidation.
Particularly in a shared environment.
Right. Pervin, how about over Juniper in terms of challenges that you see day-to-day trying to assist customers moving forward in this space?
Definitely. So everything to the in the data center to the path to the cloud has changed except for network and security.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is there's always this uncertainty of how's my performance going to be? What are the implications of security when I now move into the virtualization realm, right, into the cloud? Is my data going to be intermingled with somebody else's data? And do I have control over it? So it's plus the whole aspect of I don't know where it sits. And, it's more of the awareness. It's also just a few years ago, I was at a conference and I was speaking and somebody told me that, we're never going to move to the cloud because if I can't touch it, feel it, or see it, I don't want to, I don't want to be responsible for it.
Right.
2 years later, that same person was telling themselves that we migrated thousands of mailboxes into the cloud in less than 3 months.
Right.
So it's more the awareness, it's more of the uncertainty, and how do you overcome it?
Sure. I've always seen that with a lot of technologies. I'm not too far back, people were saying, these devices aren't really going to take off very much and things like that. And now people, if you leave home and you forget your phone or your PDA device, you have like a panic attack. Oh my goodness, I'm going to have... Now, Jay brought up energy savings and so forth. Just to ask one of the government people, Anil, are you factoring energy savings? Are you looking at, does that factor into your strategy also?
Absolutely. It's actually one of the founding pillars of our strategy. Mm-hmm. We have, as part of our program, something that we call Sustain It, in the sense that we have this IT sustainability program that presents a green IT dashboard through our capabilities. So part of our cloud platform, we have this green IT smart meter that that we invented that dynamically computes the amount of energy saved per year over time and displays that on a website for consumers of cloud services.
Sure.
Right. Couple that with the energy saving performance contracts that Jay mentioned, where we're leveraging an ESPC vehicle to modernize our infrastructure and move us into a virtual desktop environment.
Right.
Swapping out thick clients for virtual desktops, right, to really allow us to get to this end state of saving energy within the Department of Energy.
Right. Right. I'd love to follow up with and learn more about what you're doing with that. That's because I'm become very much interested in that. And I don't sell anything, so I'm not coming back to you. I'm basically just to educate myself on some of the things that are going on there, because I think there are some exciting things in that area. We need to talk about security a little bit, too. But before we do that, we need to take a break. You're listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal agencies need to overcome the inflexibility and high costs created by IT sprawl. HP Data Center Transformation Solutions will make your data center more flexible, more efficient, and less expensive to operate. HP Data Center Transformation Solutions help by focusing on five core initiatives: portfolio management, data center consolidation, IT workforce effectiveness, world-class IT, and the enterprise data warehouse. HP Data Center Transformation Solutions, the fastest path to your converged infrastructure, enabling you to accelerate IT and reduce sprawl.
Struggling to meet your data center consolidation and sustainability goals? Look to Schneider Electric. From assessments, planning, and infrastructure improvements to funding vehicles to overcome capital shortfalls, Schneider Electric offers the industry's leading expertise that you need to create more efficient, available data centers. With their future-minded solutions, you'll realize lower lifecycle costs, enhanced physical security, and a smaller building footprint. That's Schneider-Electric.us.
As you virtualize your data centers to save space, weight, and power, take a look at Juniper Networks for your data center consolidation. Juniper's newly certified EX series switches feature virtual chassis technology, so you can manage multiple switches as a single logical device, increasing network performance and security. And with Juniper's QFabric solution, you can flatten your data center architecture to a single layer, managed as one virtual switch. Choose new. See juniper.net/datacenter.
Welcome back to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jim Fleisig here with Robin East from Treasury, Jim Stephen from USDA, Anil Kamal from NNSA, Pervin Vakharwala from Juniper Networks, Jay Owen from Schneider Electric, and Bill Bocci from HP Software Federal. We're talking data center consolidation. We've covered a number of topics. And the term security has come up a few times as you move to a consolidated data centers. I think it changes a little bit the security question. Maybe it creates an opportunity. Let's start with Robin again. Robin, how is you viewing the security question as you move to a consolidated environment?
One of the things that we see is an opportunity to achieve more flexibility in how we do our security, because we have varying needs from FISMA High for certain things, sure, all the way to the need to collaborate and share data with other members of the financial sector that perhaps are subject to different standards than what we at Treasury are. And so as we look at building that enterprise infrastructure that will be the outcome of our consolidation, right, the other thing that we're going to do is restructure, re-engineer the security architecture so that we can more easily accommodate all of those needs.
Right. Yeah, I know there's a lot of challenges when you have a lot of bureaus with different requirements and rules. And when I was at Treasury, of course, we also had the law enforcement agencies there before they moved to Homeland. So obviously their security requirements and what they want to do is dramatically different than the IRS, where the privacy issue overwhelms a lot of the other issues and things like that. So a dramatically different approaches to that question. Jim Stephen, how about security? How are you looking at security as you move? Are you looking at it as an opportunity?
It's definitely an opportunity. You know, USDA is an amalgamation of many different mission areas, sure, that go all the way from food safety to supporting farmers to rural development, right, and things like that.
And everybody just doesn't jump right on board when you...
So much as Robin said, there's different security needs from all of these different mission areas. But as we consolidate, that security perimeter that we have to maintain as a department shrinks, and we, therefore, you know, we're only having to be watchful for a smaller and smaller,
right,
perimeter environment. Lots of new tools that working with vendor communities that are helping us be more proactive with our security, and we're making, you know,
sure,
leaps and bounds, we're making improvements.
Yeah, I think industry has some challenges to step up and come up with tools that can work across heterogeneous environments and things like that in these data centers, so that the government doesn't continually have to buy these proprietary products for each individual piece of equipment that you know is in these now heterogeneous data center environments. And I think industry is moving in that direction, and it can be an opportunity to get rid of a lot of old stuff that is overtaken
and
by a better
tool. We're finally achieving an end-to-end view of our network,
right,
too. A single pane of glass.
That's right. We actually know everything we have here.
Yeah. We're getting there, yes.
Yeah. Terrific. Anil, at the NSA security, I know just by the nature of what your business that security is a high priority. But are you viewing sort of the data center consolidation cloud as an opportunity to take sort of a holistic approach at the security question?
Absolutely. It is a great opportunity. And, as part of, some of the things that you stated in the sense that we're looking to industry to help develop these tools, within the NNSA, we have research national laboratories that do innovation partnered with industry to develop new capabilities. So part of what we've done is, as we lay this foundation around cloud, we've taken our physical security constructs and mapped them to virtual security constructs in the sense that if a workload is found to be compromised in our virtual environment, it can automatically be offline, put into a remediation enclave, given access to remediation resources to be rectified before it's been put back into its source enclave.
Okay.
So couple that with the fact that, as you stated, in a heterogeneous infrastructure, we have different physical appliances, and now that we've mapped our physical security to our virtual security, right, we've developed this concept called software-defined security in the sense that we have a single control plane to manage multiple heterogeneous physical and virtual appliances from a single control point through that cloud service broker. So
yeah,
that gives us that capability,
sure,
to really manage security more effectively, more cost-effectively in this heterogeneous environment.
Terrific. Pervin, what do you think in terms, I would guess that you're factoring security big time into the way you're looking at this stuff.
Definitely. In fact, to echo Anil, that's exactly what we have is, so security is a big concern, especially when you consolidate and take multiple physical servers and virtualize them so you have a single box of different virtual machines on it.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional security measures such as intrusion detection, prevention products kind of are blind because they're not in a data path anymore. And now you have a vulnerability at a hypervisor layer. So how do you protect that? That's where Juniper actually has a layered approach where we can actually protect from the physical component, so from the perimeter out to the server to the virtual machine, which also protects the hypervisors as well and is aware from the physical to the virtual. So if it's a threat that occurs in a virtual RAM can be also mitigated and isolated to just that virtual RAM and take action just like isolation.
Right.
As well as from a physical perspective, if it's mm-hmm. coming from the outside, we can prevent it mm-hmm. right there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to raise some issues too. That with mm-hmm. Robin and Neil talked to the people processes issues, and especially when you're looking at some cloud and virtual and managed services, all of a sudden there's going to be a shared risk there. It's not just going to be the government agency, you're going to have the providers and so forth. So it's going to create some interesting models. We're down to about 12 minutes left of the show. We always like to talk about where we're going in the future with all of these programs and projects and subjects. So I'm going to ask each panelist to give your thought to where this is all going down the road. What improvements will we see in government in, let's say, next 5 or 10 years that we think are attributed to things that are being done now? Give me a sort of a picture of the world we'll be in. Let's start at the end of the table with Bill at HP. Bill, what's your crystal ball look like down the road?
Well, I'm not so sure I have a great crystal ball, but what I do see, I think a lot of what government does and what the consumers of government services will be as if you're home working on the internet, right? A lot of smartphones, a lot of computers, a lot of the applications that we typically use in our everyday life that, it becomes very obvious now if you're going to go subscribe to some service, you go on your smartphone, you do it, you download all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we get this data center consolidation and transformation, secure the data center, I think we'll have a lot of this BYOD, bring your own device, whereas, just as if there's no reason now to use multiple devices when you're doing access to that point. So I really think the innovation side of it, providing new web technologies to the field, to the people out, to our consumers, is really the next great layer for where the government's going.
Terrific. Thanks. Good thought. So, Jay Owen at Schneider Electric, what should it look like down the road to you, Jay?
So I think there's an obvious savings to be had from closing facilities and moving into other existing facilities. But on top of that, I think we're going to see a significant increase in the efficiency of the existing data centers. the pod approach that I referenced earlier, mm-hmm. Should be able to get data center efficiency, if you measure it in terms of power uses effectiveness, PUE, should be able to get it down to about a 1.35, which is tremendously better than where we are today,
right.
Although not as good as if you were building something from scratch. But I also think we're going to see data center operators that have a real-time view into that. So if you have a real-time view into your efficiency of your facility, it really lets you drive operational decisions that support efficiency over time. And then lastly, I think moves, adds, and changes are going to today are typically done ad hoc, and I think that's going to move into a more be managed via a platform that
right.
gives you – that's based on real-time information.
Right, just better efficiency all yeah. around for all that. Anil, Kamel, how about over at NNSA? What's it look like? What's your vision of the future look like with these strategies you're implementing today? What can we expect down the road?
Yeah, so for us, I mean, we're laying the foundation really to transform the way that we work. So there's four key areas around how we're doing that. There's cloud computing, as we've talked about today, social computing, enterprise mobility, and big data and analytics. So I'm going to focus for a moment on social computing in the sense that we're changing the way that we communicate and collaborate within our environments, moving from an email-based platform where we send a bunch of emails back and forth and 20% of it's actionable to a social network construct, much like we use Facebook and mm-hmm. LinkedIn in our personal lives, deploying a social network within the department to allow us to collaborate internally, leveraging those same capabilities, really changing the collaboration strategy, right? And leveraging, as Bill mentioned, enterprise mobility devices, getting to that BYOD endpoint. This all lays the foundation for what the CIO of the Department of Energy, Bob Breeze, states for VForce 21, the virtual workforce of the 21st century,
right.
in the sense that work is something you do,
right.
not someplace you go.
Yeah, very right. well said. And we know when the kids get in the workplace, they're going to have a dramatically different idea of how things should work on a day-to-day basis in terms of the way that we've grown up in the workplace. Pervin, over at Juniper Networks, what's your vision look like for the future?
Definitely. So virtualization's cost benefit nearly becomes a de facto for migrating into the cloud. I mean, what we see is a lot of these services and agencies moving more resources into the cloud. But the old way of the old network topology just quite doesn't handle it. You know, having multiple tree structure, the performance implications that it has. So we see much more of a flatter, broader, wider network where it's one tier where it doesn't matter where storage servers are connected to. You basically have deterministic latency end-to-end, so performance is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's one of the things that we see, going down. Recently, I heard a terminology called virtualization hyperconvergence, merging of all the layers of computing environment into a single virtualization stack.
Wow.
So, everything basically, it doesn't matter what you have, you'll be able to leverage everything in a virtualized environment.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Investment.
Yeah. The evolution continues. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes we got to do a show on people making predictions and then come back like 3 years later and revisit those predictions, especially in the IT world where so many things happen so fast that to be able to say what's going to happen tomorrow is tough. Jim Stephen over USDA, what's the future of all this look like for you as you're looking at your strategy? What do you see out there as the end state?
Well, I think the next logical step as we complete data center consolidation is to really start looking more in depth at application portfolio rationalization.
Mm.
Just in USDA, there's a lot of duplicative applications. Maybe I'm a dreamer, but in 10 years out, I would hope that we've made it further down the road that we're also rationalizing across interdepartmental
right.
where my colleague Robin here, maybe they're doing something and we're doing it and they do it better, so
right.
why don't we outsource that work to her and things like that. And we've made some, I think, as the U.S. government, mm-hmm. we've made some of those steps with the lines of business and things that are already in place, but there's more to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right in terms of, when the things I worked on that are government-wide, it's just intuitively obvious that doing things across government makes a whole lot of sense. The one factor, culture, the other factor, the stove piping of the way the appropriations are settled up too. I think there's going to be some challenges for Congress to begin looking at how money is appropriated to agencies so that money is not just appropriate to one agency for one program if there are common programs in other agencies that can be pooling and sharing funds. So that's another culture challenge both in the government and in the Congress. Robin, what's it look like for you? What's your crystal ball look like? Where's this all going down the road?
I agree with Jim, first of all, that I think we have an opportunity for more enterprise shared services, and the direction that we're heading, if we continue down this path and we do it well, should lead us there. We should further reduce duplication, particularly in those core applications that we already see some lines of business established, but I think we can further consolidate. With regard to data center consolidation, if you look at the initiatives that are out there right now, digital government, shared first, all of those things converge, if we do it properly, to bring us to a point where we have mobility. It doesn't matter from what device right. we access our services or what path we take to get to those services. We're virtualized on both ends. We are using our own devices. Mm-hmm. And so with that comes efficiency
and
more accessibility.
Sure.
So that's a really good view of the future if we can just continue down the path.
Yeah, I agree too. And that mobility, I know for me, I don't know when I work. I don't know what my hours are. I kind of like work whenever I need to work. And that's, I think that kind of foundation is going to continue into the future. The whole concept of the workplace will change and everything else. Before we run out of time here, I'm going to do a couple of sort of closing remarks. I took some notes here to jot down some things that we talked about today. And when we were talking about why this is important and some of the benefits, we talked about the fact that that data center consolidation is a foundation from which a lot of other things can happen. And if we can get the consolidations done and in place, it'll allow these other opportunities to begin to happen, which will all drive better government, better efficiencies. We talked about the energy savings that can come out of this. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity to really do something special with energy savings and creative ways to finance energy savings. We talked about application portfolio management and actually rationalizing across not just infrastructure, not just hardware, but also applications, movements towards standardization, make it easier to manage those kinds of things. We did recognize the budget will be a challenge, especially in these times, especially going through an election year where the budget is going to be a high priority issue, and there's going to be a lot of uncertainty with funding, which always makes for some challenging times. In terms of cloud and managed service, we agree that they're all part of the strategy. It's not like a data center strategy and a cloud strategy and a managed service strategy. It's about a combined strategy that incorporates them all. There's a lot of challenges out there other than the money itself. We've got the culture, the processes, and the people, which is always something that is a whole new set of issues that require time and behavior changes and maybe movements around the people and so forth. Security, it remains a top priority, but I heard it's an opportunity. It's a challenge, but it's a big opportunity because for once we can look at the holistic approach. And in the future, we see a lot of duplication going down. I like that concept of going from cloud to social computing, to big data and how that will impact it. And I guess I see the data center consolidation, if I look way down the road, data center consolidation, shared services. There could be yet another version that I think Jim and Robin brought up where, not only consolidate inside an agency, but also look at now consolidation across agencies. And if you really want to get out there into the future, you could see a day maybe where there's a government servicing entity and the government agencies are back to focusing on their mission only, and the services are offered as a utility, and you don't even really need to think about the IT portions of this as the agencies move forward. With that, I want to say thank you to our panelists. You are all great. Thanks so much for taking time from your really busy schedules to come out here and share your thoughts and best practices and things you're doing. Thanks, of course, to our sponsors, without which we would not have a radio show. Thanks to all the great folks here at Federal News Radio for doing such a great job each time. And most importantly, thanks to our listening audience out there for listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Thank you for listening to the 2012 Federal Executive Forum series on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This show was produced by the Trezza Media Group and the Fleisig Group. If you missed any portion of this show, you can listen to the show in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsradio.com.